listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
That'll wake you up on a Tuesday morning. It's time you wake up anyway. In fact, you might just want to get up and stay up until USA Soccer takes the field, takes the pitch against Iran. It's coming up in mere hours. My stomach's growling and I'm nervous, so I'm not really sure what's happening right now in my stomach. There's all kinds of emotions that are being contained in my stomach. However, it's going to be a good week. Would you like to know why? Well, then you better check out my Twitter. I'm such an easy girl to please. I really am. It's the simple things in life. But as producer Jay just said to me, what are the odds? Well, I don't even think they come up with odds like this. It's so completely out of the stratosphere. It just...
Things like this don't happen.
No. Things like this do not happen. And no, it's not that I got engaged, because that's going to happen at some point. It's not like those odds are extremely high. I even have to laugh at that myself. Not yet. That'll happen someday. And I don't know that I'll put it on Twitter, but this was worth putting on Twitter and Facebook. So check it out. A-Law Radio. You have to. You have to see it to believe it. Funny because a man already responded to me with, you actually took a screenshot. Well, duh. If I said, now don't give it, Jay, you are the king of giving these things away. You're allowed to turn on your microphone. How many times have you spoiled things when I'm trying to tease them and not give away the ending?
All right, but that last one was pretty good.
Okay, right. But three or four times you've ruined things. Mm. Just keep your mouth, like, zip it, please. And I'm saying that as nicely as possible. If I said to you, guess what, and I did say to you, I told you about it on the phone. You said, no way. That was your response.
Oh my gosh.
Would you have believed me if I did not send you the photo?
Probably not. Oh, well, I would have, but the photo just validates it. You know, you have to.
You have to have the photo. Right. So it's kind of funny that a guy made a joke about how I really took the screenshot. Well, of course, nobody would have believed me otherwise. And then I did tweet about it earlier on Monday, and people wanted the proof. That a guy responded right away with pictures or it didn't happen.
Of course.
Well, I damn sure did take a photo, and it's now up on my Twitter, A-Law Radio.
That guy's a bozo.
I did not say that. Don't get me in trouble. I'm just saying is all. I had to wait until we were safely out of the zone for other people in the United States. See, I can't give it away. Just check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. No, it has nothing to do with sports. And no, I didn't get fired. Though there are times when I wonder if that would make my week. I'm totally joking. Jay, don't say anything. Keep your mic turned off. Okay.
Okay.
We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Week 12 is now in the books. The Steelers, they're making progress, but they don't generally do anything the easy way.
First and goal at the 6. Pickett under center. Najee gets the call. Najee threw a crack down to the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh, for Najee Harris, number 4 on the year. And you hear the Steelers fans, and you see the terrible towel a-twirling.
A 5-minute, 31-second drive capped by Najee Harris. That was the good for Najee Harris. The bad is that he was on and off the field with what turned out to be an abdominal injury, or at least it was classified that way. In hockey, it would be an upper body injury. And he didn't play in the second half. So instead, the Steelers had to go to running back by committee. Now, I'm not telling you that's why their offense dried up to start the second half, but out of the locker room, three and out. They really struggled to find that same rhythm. After building a 16-3 lead, the Colts were able to rally it pretty quickly in the second half.
Taylor, the back to the left side. Ball to your hash. They give it to Taylor, and he scrapes off a block, and he's in there. Touchdown, Jonathan Taylor. Touchdown, INDY for JT. He's got a rushing touchdown in three consecutive games, and the Colts have their first touchdown of the night. It's 16-9.
It's a hell of a lot easier to score when you've got a kickoff return for 89 yards. Mike Tomlin was hot on the sidelines when that happened. They, of course, put a camera on him. It's interesting to me how the experienced coaches will often turn their heads or turn their backs or even put their heads down because they don't want their facial expressions or their lips to be read on camera. So he was hot. It doesn't happen all the time, but he definitely seemed to turn away from the camera after the 89-yard run back of the kickoff of the second half, and Jonathan Taylor gets into the end zone. Still blows me away when I hear Matt Taylor there on Colts radio that it's just his third touchdown of the year. And fantasy football is not real. It's fantasy. It's called that for a reason. But who would have thought, all those fantasy football owners that drafted him number one overall, who would have ever anticipated that the Colts offensive line would be so bad this year? It's one of the burning questions about the NFL season. What the heck happened to the Colts offensive line? Now, it's not all on them. Let's be fair. When you go, 7.5 minutes with the football and you march the entire length of the field and you fumble it, quarterback and running back on an exchange, you fumbled on the 1 yard line and then somehow your quarterback falls on the ball and yet doesn't recover the fumble, that is a gut punch. But that's where the second drive for the Colts went. Down the entire length of the field, only to end with a fumble that was recovered by the Steelers. But as I say, the Steelers struggled to move the ball, so they had a three and out and then gave it right back to the Colts.
Four on the line, shotgun snap. They rush four, arching spiral into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. Near sideline, caught in the back by Michael Pittman. Heavily covered on the play. It's a 6-yard touchdown pass. And the coverage on the play by James Pierre. Touchdown that ties the game at 16 with 16 seconds to play in the third quarter.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, and with the extra point, they didn't go for two. With the extra point, they were able to take the lead. So they rally from what was a 2-score deficit after the Steelers' offense stalled. But as I say, it was running back by committee. There were four different Steelers who carried the ball at least a half dozen times, and who had over 30 yards. Now, that does include Kenny Pickett. They come up with design runs for him. He's clearly a mobile quarterback. He represents a guy who can pick up yards in a variety of ways. It was kind of cool to see the way that Anthony McFarland stepped in and Benny Snell stepped up.
Pickett's going to go shotgun wide side to his left. And Gunner's in the shotgun inside Deontay. They hand it off, and running left and getting to the end zone is Benny Snell Jr. First rushing touchdown of the year, and the Steelers leapfrog back on top.
Steelers win, baby. 24-17, man. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. Monday Night Football. Your boy just got it in, man. Snell, yeah. Steelers, let's go, baby, all the way.
Snell, yeah. Why didn't I think of that? That's amazing. That needs to be his Twitter handle.
Man, Snell.
Snell, yeah. That's on Benny Snell's Instagram. Bill Hillgrove on Steelers
yes.
Radio. So they answer. And you can see Kenny Pickett growing up before the eyes of his teammates, in Coach Tomlin's eyes. You can see how the experience, these games, even if it started out, well, his first full start was in Buffalo, so maybe we give him a pass on that. He's getting it. He's picking it up. And this is work that he will not have to do in season number two.
He's getting better every week. And it's in a very natural way because of experience. He's a competitor. He's smart. But it's still a lot of meat on the bone, and it's just the process. But like I always say, he's good enough, and we're good enough to win while that happens. And so we're not grading him or us on a curve. We acknowledge that he's very much in development. You can ask me next week, and I'll tell you he got better in all areas again next week, because with each snap becomes exposure, and sharp guys, guys that are competitors, they grow from those things. We need people that run toward action, not away from it, and he runs toward it.
We're all believing in what we're doing, and we're showing up every day to work, and every guy in that locker room wants to win, and we're doing everything it takes to go out there and win, and we're leaving it out there. I think that's if you have that, you got a shot. So that's a good starting point, and there's a lot of things to clean up, but if we continue to build on the positives and clean up the negatives, I think we'll continue to trend in this direction.
I don't know how many people expected the Steelers to be a winning team, and by winning team I mean a record above 500. Maybe there were some high hopes that got dashed relatively quickly. There is still hope for that. Definitely could at least put themselves in the playoff conversation. There are some very long odds for them to make the postseason. And maybe that's not the expectation anymore. But I do believe that the huge positive to come out of this is that the offense, not just Kenny Pickett, but Najee Harris, who's only in his second year, as long as he can stay healthy, I know he's been on off the field. The young receivers they've got, George Pickens. Think about the rapport. If you've watched Pickett and Pickens, oh, that could be a problem. If you've watched the two Ps, not OPP, but the two Ps, if you've watched them play together, you can tell they already have a rhythm. They already understand one another, and he looks for George, who's also a rookie. They get these early bumps in the road out of the way, and Pickett is able to absorb a lot of these reps and the experience. He goes into year two, where the expectations are naturally higher for the Steelers, with a lot of these growing pains in the rearview mirror. That's huge. And that's what Mike Tomlin's saying. Yeah, maybe they string together some wins. In the AFC North, it's not impossible to make up ground. The teams are relatively even. There's no intimidation factor there. And Kenny Pickett has shown that he doesn't get flummoxed by the moment. He doesn't lose his cool. Does he hit every pass? No. He airmailed a few last night. But if they can get kind of this rhythm and groove as an offense in real time, in real game action, there is great value in that. And I don't think they're sacrificing their potential to win, meaning they're not tanking by starting their rookie quarterback. No, he genuinely gives them the best opportunity to win. And no, it didn't work out at the beginning, and their offense is, let's just be honest, it's still a work in progress. However, there's no taking away from the fact, there's no denying the fact that you can see how they're moving forward, even if the wins or the winning record doesn't happen this year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. For no other reason, we are so appreciative that the Steelers were put on Monday Night Football, because it means we get more of primetime Mike Tomlin.
Man, I'm just appreciative of having an opportunity to compete on Monday Night Football, man. All of us grew up on it. And it's just a part of the fabric of our society, man. And it's an honor to participate in it and win. I'm appreciative of the efforts of the guys. We got a lot to work on, but we were good enough tonight to secure victory. And for that, we're thankful, man. We got a short week, got another road trip waiting on us. And so we got to sleep fast and do those things.
There are a bazillion things that I would love to talk to Mike Tomlin about. But my only question right now is, how do I sleep fast? I need that skill. I don't have sleeping as a skill, really, and I definitely can't sleep on planes or in cars or on buses. Just, I want to learn how to sleep fast. What's the secret to sleeping fast?
Don't blink.
I don't think that's the secret. Oh, my goodness. One more from Tomlin. 172 rushing yards. After their top running back gets injured, 172 rushing yards?
Sometimes you get battlefield promoted. A guy like Benny Snell became a central part of what we were doing offensively, and he was still on punt team. He was still on punt return. He was still on kickoff. And Max, the guy that's always waiting and working and waiting for his opportunity, and he did some things that we saw in team development in the preseason that make him a little bit different than some of the other backs, the things he's able to do in space, the screen game, the draw game. I just thought he was an asset to us.
Battlefield promoted. Can I have that too? I want to sleep fast and get Battlefield promoted. He makes it sound so glorious.
Sounds like a good week.
I mean, not as good as the week I've already had, but yes, okay. Do you think Mike Tomlin would trade places with me because of, don't give it away?
I think he might, honestly. Something like this, yeah.
We know he's a huge fan of vocabulary. It's even better that it happened in an uncommon fashion. I can say that, right? Not give it away?
I think so.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Rob wants to know if it was the first time it happened. Yes, hell yes. First and only time it's ever happened. Jeff Saturday, his third game with the Indianapolis Colts. And really, he felt like it was the first half, the slow start, an interception by Matt Ryan, then a pair of three and outs. That was the undoing, the unraveling.
Obviously, it wasn't nearly good enough the first half, and I think everybody felt it. Wait, you know, just not nearly enough plays and really self-inflicted wounds, which has kind of been the story the last 2 weeks against opponents that, you know, you feel like you have an opportunity and don't make enough to close it out.
Disappointing. It really is, because I think the effort is good, but our execution just hasn't been good enough.
Matt Ryan gets blamed for a lot of this stuff, but I actually felt like, and I have felt this way for a couple of weeks now, he's a gamer. I know that he threw the interception. That was on him. Actually, if you watch the broadcast on ESPN, Troy Aikman blamed the receiver. I don't remember. It was Michael Pittman, I think it was, who stopped. And instead of going toward the basketball, oh my gosh, I was just thinking this is what happens in basketball too. This is what we're taught.
Touching the pumpkin.
Okay, right. Let me go back to the football game. Troy pointed out that Pittman stopped moving toward the football. He was supposed to be moving toward the quarterback to prevent the DB from stepping in and grabbing that interception, but he didn't. He stopped doing it. He kind of stopped where he wasn't even backpedaled a little bit. That's what you're taught in pretty much every sport. You go toward the pass. You go toward the basketball. You go toward the puck. What you're trying to do is prevent someone else from stepping in as the ball is coming towards you, or the puck is coming towards you. You do it on the soccer field as well. Yeah, you're trying to step into it so that no one else can intercept it. And that's not what happened. So Troy seemed to believe that interception wasn't really on Matt, though he obviously threw it. Yes, the Colts are among the leaders in the NFL in turnovers. But according to Jeff Saturday, they're not making a quarterback change. Matt Ryan is the man. He's a gamer. He's running. Looks like a flamingo when he runs, but he's running. He's flapping all over the place when he runs. The team has clearly responded, and they're playing hard. They're just not quite on the same page yet. It's still disconnected a little bit, and there are lots of issues that have nothing to do with the quarterback. But I like what I've seen from them, at least, the last few weeks. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, Wyatt will be one heck of a week. Why I've been Battlefield promoted. I wish. And also on our Facebook page. Coming up, some QB news that has nothing to do with the Steelers or the Colts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Could go back and give you more from the Steelers and Colts quarterbacks, but we'll jump into the next big QB storyline from the AFC North. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Deshaun Watson has been cleared and reinstated by the NFL, and we knew he was practicing. He was in the facilities with the Cleveland Browns, but he is now slated to start week 13 against his former team, the Houston Texans, and Kevin Stefanski is publicly supporting him and believes that he will be good to go.
Next step is obviously being out there, taking all the first team reps. He's been doing a nice job getting the defense ready with the scout team reps that he's gotten. So I think he's done a nice job with his time away, physically staying sharp, mentally staying sharp. So I think he'll be ready to roll. Sean spent a lot of time with his teammates. I think they've all enjoyed having him back and being a part of the team. And I think they're excited for him in this next step.
I am thrilled for how Jacoby Brissett went out. They cut Josh Dobbs on Monday because they don't want to keep that many quarterbacks on their roster. Jacoby knew the drill. He knew what was being asked of him when he signed with the Browns. I think he was professional. He handled this challenging position with all kinds of support for not just Deshaun Watson, but for the team. And the team played hard for him. And we actually have their walk-off TD, the Browns against the Bucks, as one of our TD of the week candidates. Although I kind of feel like now we should have used the David Njoku because the skill factor involved in that one, not to mention the final 30 seconds. But yeah, the Browns and Jacoby were able to wrap up that particular phase of their season with a win, and it had to feel good for Jacoby Brissett, even as Deshaun takes over week 13 against Houston. All right, staying inside the AFC North, and this is a little off the beaten path, but John Harbaugh defending his quarterback after some offensive words were used on Twitter in response to a rude comment from a fan.
Lamar Jackson, you know, you've been around him. He's got one of the biggest hearts of anybody I know. You all have seen him, the way he treats people, the way he treats kids, the way he treats the media, you know, and he's also one of the biggest competitors I've ever met. So those kind of conversations, he takes very seriously, you know. So you get trapped sometimes by someone that's baiting you just a little bit, and you can't live there. It's not important.
Oh, I appreciate that wisdom from John Harbaugh. And he said, we talk about football a lot, but we also talk about real life. And you cannot live there. Twitter is not important. I tell them, stay off social media, especially after a loss. Fans are baiting you. And that's exactly what happened with this fan who didn't just make a comment about how the Ravens shouldn't re-sign Lamar, but also sent the tweet to him directly, hoping that he would see it, hoping that he would take the bait. Lamar did. It's a tough lesson to learn because it went viral. But I love that John Harbaugh supports his quarterback and speaks to his character and how this was not out, or is not character for Lamar, that this is not who he is on a day-to-day basis. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. The Jets have made their decision, at least for week 13, and they're sticking with the hot hand.
We're going to go week to week. There's things that we'd love to see Zach accomplish over the course of, we'll call it a reset, but this is Mike White's opportunity. That doesn't change. So Mike's got an opportunity to go stack another great day up this week. And when we feel like Zach is ready to roll, he's going to roll. Everyone loves Mike. I think everyone in the locker room really has a genuine appreciation for each other. But I think when you're having success and it's rolling and it's crap weather and it's raining and it's fun. Football's fun. It's supposed to be fun.
Crap weather, but it's fun. It's supposed to be fun. And certainly the Jets were having fun. If you missed my conversation with insider Dan Leberfeld, he has the Jets Confidential magazine. I asked him why. Why do the players respond to Mike White? Why do they enjoy playing with him? Because it's obvious how much they love to play with this guy going back to last season. You do not want to miss the answer. It's classic. So on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. And yeah, three touchdowns and a win later, the Jets are flying high. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Staying in the AFC where another team is flying high, the Jaguars got to see the best of Trevor Lawrence, the guy that everyone anticipated would step into the NFL. Oh, I'm here when he first was drafted as a rookie, number one overall. It didn't happen. Thanks, Urban Meyer. But we're now seeing that potential with a new coach and with weapons around him.
He played well. You know, he played tough, played smart, took care of the football. Other than the one, strip sack there at the end, towards the end, late in the fourth quarter. But I thought he played really well, made some really big throws, took a step in the right direction, as I mentioned after the game, and great for his confidence. Obviously a win like that and the way we won, I think can just build more confidence within the team.
For his part, Trevor says, quote, "I've always been this guy." I mean, there's a bit of a learning curve, even if you are Trevor Lawrence. But yes, we saw that at Clemson. That was why he was hailed and celebrated as a franchise savior. But there was a setback last season for a variety of reasons. He had more turnovers in one season than he's ever had in his entire career, his life combined, going back to peewee football, for heaven's sakes. And so, yes, had to be good. I feel like this was a culture-building and confidence-building win for Doug Peterson and the Jaguars as he tries to reset following what was the mess of Lawrence's. I don't even like it when people use it for me. Amy Lawrence's. No. Trevor's big rally down the stretch. Just sounds so awkward. It's a little bit like Matt Ryan running. Just sounds very awkward. Josh Jacobs's.
Ryan's is. Doesn't work.
No. But why would you ever say Ryan's is? Like D'Amico Ryan's, maybe?
Matt Ryan's is.
No, well, yeah, but Ryan is not plural in that situation. It would have Matt to be Ryan. Something that already has an S on the end, right? Or that sounds like an S. Lawrence's, because it sounds like a bit of an S sound. Jay, yeah. I lost him a long time
ago.
Right. I somehow, there was a like ships passing in the night at times. In the NFC South, Steve Wilks already fielding questions about Sam Darnold and if he'll be the starter for the rest of the season. The rest of the season? They can barely go week to week. But here's Steve.
My mindset all year has been, win the day. So in order to win the day, it's all about that game. So things can change. He is a starter for Seattle. And then I can't even really express on anything beyond that.
I mean, you're asking a Panthers team that is trying to find its way out of a paper bag whether or not he's going to start the rest of the season. They've changed their quarterback 3 times in 3 weeks, and you want to know about the rest of the season? That seems like a long shot. You were going to get a straight-up answer. And so, instead, you get the answer about how we're week to week.
They always come back.
Ew. You just ruined my entire... No, you didn't. Monday morning's victory... I'm flashing you the V sign for victory right now. Monday morning's victory, it overshadows anything you might try to use to derail me, Producer Jay. So bring it. Let's go. Bring it on. All right, finally, Matt LaFleur. See, these questions blow me away. Matt LaFleur was giving the update on Aaron Rodgers. Coming out of Sunday and the banged up ribs, remember Rodgers took himself out of the game, got checked, said that he was worried about a punctured lung, and then he fielded questions afterwards about whether or not he might sit the rest of the way. And Rodgers responds with, no. Anyway, so the questions are now for the head coach, Matt LaFleur. Is he starting if he's healthy?
Matt, if he's deemed healthy enough to play, will he play?
Yes.
Duh.
Hold for the entirety of the final five games, or is that a conversation?
Well, I think, you know, just you guys know how I work in terms of one day at a time, one game at a time. And so, you know, I know that he was asked about that yesterday and what he said. And we have not even gone down that road. Obviously. There's more to be done. So, like I said, sometimes there's stuff that doesn't show up on all the scans. He just, all I can tell you is he's feeling a little bit better.
All right, so we don't have the full medical report on Aaron Rodgers. But even as we wrap up QB news, I will tell you about a post on our Facebook page in which a fan, and I believe he is a Packers fan, asked me whether or not the Packers should throw Jordan Love out there the rest of the way to see what they have and just bench Rodgers. Are you kidding me?
I don't think so.
But even just... forget his, no. Think about what you would be doing if you tried to bench a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Number one, you would embarrass him. You would embarrass him. And if there's nothing left in the season, if you truly think the season is over, which in the NFC, it's definitely not for the wild cards. I know there's some ground to make up now with the entire East being above 500. Why would you embarrass your two-time reigning NFL MVP and die on that hill? Because you would. You would ruin your relationship with Aaron Rodgers. You don't bench Peyton Manning. You don't bench Tom Brady. You don't bench Ben Roethlisberger, no matter how bad it is at the end of his career. And you do not bench Aaron Rodgers. There are some things you do not do. I understand Matt Ryan got benched, and I didn't love that move at the time. It came from above Frank Reich's head. He didn't love the move either. Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I know he's not playing his best football. The Packers are. It's not entirely on Aaron. You cannot honestly believe in any world that it makes sense to bench Rodgers if he's healthy. He gets to make that decision. If Rodgers says, I can't play, okay. He has earned the right. Like Kobe Bryant did at the end of his career. He has earned the right to decide if and when. Again, you don't bench quarterbacks or any players, really, who have earned that type of credibility and equity. And Rodgers has banked it. Rodgers has been the Packers for years. Even when they didn't have anything else around him, he still gave it everything he had. You don't bench Aaron Rodgers. I don't care how bad he's playing. And honestly, it's not like it's that bad. It's just the team is not winning. Could you imagine walking into that meeting room and trying to announce to your team you're benching Aaron Rodgers? Just, oh, heavens.
I don't think it'd be great.
You don't think it would go over well? I don't think it would go over well. Again, it'd be like taking the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. Just, no. No. Unless, of course, this fan wants to go in and announce to the Packers that they're benching Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
All right. What are we doing next? What do you think? We had a buzzer beater in the NBA, which was kind of fun. We had, well... I mean, does anybody still care about the Brooklyn Nets? I was going to say, we had a big performance from Kevin Durant. Other than Jay, sorry. I know you care about the Brooklyn Nets. But do you think...
Who cares?
Never mind. KD doesn't care about the Brooklyn Nets. So we'll regroup. Oh, your candidates for TD of the week, to be sure. With a bonus. I've decided we should add a bonus. It's After Hours with...
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. Los Angeles Chargers.
Eckler in the backfield, Herbert under center. Motion man is Keenan. Fakes the handoff, rolling to his right. Looking for Eckler. Has Eckler, and he is into the pylon. Touchdown, Chargers! Austin Eckler hits the right pylon for the score. He turns his shoulders to get the touchdown, and this is it.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
20 seconds to play. The clock turns. Trevor drops. Fires toward the right corner of the end zone. That ball is caught! Caught! Caught for the touchdown! In the right corner of the end zone! How good is that? Touchdown, Jacksonville! Marvin Jones Jr.
The Cleveland Browns.
The Browns are going to try to run it in right here behind James Hudson.
That's right. Hudson, the fullback. Motion down the line by Harrison Bryant. Brissett underneath center. Second and goal. Tampa Bay was offside. They give the ball to Chubb. He's driving for the goal line. He is. He's in. He's in. Touchdown, Nick Chubb. And the Browns are winners.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Down to five on the play clock. Gets the snap. Hands off to Jacob. Stutters to the right. Burst through the hole. 20. 25. 30. He's off to the races. Here in Seattle, nobody's going to catch him. 25. 20. 10. Ball game. Bye-bye, Josh. 86 yards in overtime to walk it off for a second straight week. Touchdown, Raiders. Victory, Las Vegas.
I have nothing to say. Oh, it's just an ISO lead. It's a beautiful run.
But I have nothing to say. Now, those are our TD of the week candidates, and we've already put the poll up, and we've already heard from a couple hundred of you. And so even in the early stages, I can't take the poll down and redo it, and I wouldn't anyway because it's not fair. And, you know, life is not fair, so we try to make it fair on a radio show. However, there is one other touchdown that I feel as though we've missed the mark, and this is not about... This is not on producer Jay, so I'm not criticizing him. If I had thought about it, I would have said, yes, the Nick Chubb touchdown was a walk-off winner, but this one was the jaw-dropper.
Two to the right, from the 12, back to pass. Here's Brissett, looking, firing, end zone. Oh, what a catch by Njoku! Touchdown! What a catch by the Chief! A touchdown!
He put it up where only the Chief could get it, and he went up with one hand, only his left hand with the defender draped on him, and snared it in. What a catch by the Chief when you needed it the most. Oh, my goodness, Jim.
Jim Donovan and company there on Browns Radio. So in terms of skill, in terms of pressure, Nick Chubb can walk in from 1 yard out in his sleep, though, yes, it was a game winner. And that's generally where our thoughts start with TD of the week. These were all game winners. But in retrospect, they wouldn't have been in overtime if not for David Njoku. So let's just go ahead and make his TD catch the honorable. TD of the week, but we'll pick a runner-up if you don't mind. So, yes, on Cleveland Radio, Chubb's TD with Jim Donovan. On Jacksonville Jaguars Radio, it was Trevor Lawrence's coming of age, maybe, in the NFL. His touchdown pass to Marvin Jones, followed by the two-point conversion to Zay Jones. Go for two in the win, baby. Frank Frangie on Jags Radio. It's Matt Smith on Chargers Radio. The Chargers had the same idea. They were watching the Jaguars from earlier in the afternoon, and they also go for two. After Austin Eckler gets into the end zone, barely, Gerald Everett hauls in the two-point conversion with 15 seconds left. And then finally, and last but not least, in any stretch of the imagination, Josh Jacobs. He was hurt. He was hobbling. He actually didn't think he should be on the field. And yet, after a record-setting day, 303 yards from scrimmage, which is a franchise mark. It's also seventh most ever in NFL history. 86-yard walk-off? What? Amazing on Raiders Radio with Josh Horowitz.
Man, I mean, it's kind of crazy, you know, coming in, not knowing if I was going to play, looking the guys in their eyes, telling them, you know, that they're going to get everything they got out of me. They didn't want me to finish the game, but, you know, I kind of convinced them that, you know, I could go. Biggest play of the game happened after that.
Josh Jacobs. I love the sound effect at the beginning.
Man, I mean.
Great. 303 yards from scrimmage, but 229 rushing yards for a guy who felt like he wasn't 100%. Seattle had zero answers, as in the big fat goose egg. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, we're going to pivot a little bit. Oh, before we do that, I want you to vote for TD of the Week, please. Lots of write-in votes for David Njoku. I hear you. I see you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Can't take it down, but you can do the write-in vote. So go ahead and cast your ballot. Also, you have chosen the Ravens as the team that was most mortified, most miserable, most morose on Monday. We think it was a manic Monday for us. The Ravens were feeling it, compounded on and off the field. So that was your choice, 43% of the vote. There is no vote for Defensive Player of the Week. Why? Because your host has commandeered this category and decided it's my way or it's the highway.
On the turn, opens it up wide. Here's Shaw once again, in for Sterling, trying to find the run of Matt Turner, the save. First save tonight from Matt Turner, and an important one in first half stoppage. Timeout for a quarter.
The life of the goalkeeper.
The world of football is leveling out in a lot of ways. Teams have game plans. Teams have been investing in their youth academies over a number of years. They have guys playing at top level all over the world. I think the message is when you have one team that's bought into the same message, you can beat anyone on any given day.
Love Matt Turner. Love what he's done in goal so far. I know that he is the one who gave the penalty kick to Wales. Just an awkward position. I don't want to say impossible because it's not, but it's unlikely that you're going to stop a PK against a player of the caliber that he faced in Wales, right? So he gets redemption, as did Walker Zimmerman, actually. And so the two American goalkeeper and defender tandem make up our Defensive Players of the Week. Sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. You may remember when manager Greg Berhalter announced the U.S. national team, he left off a goalkeeper that surprised a lot of people. People were calling it a snub. He went with Matt Turner instead because he'd seen these guys play, not just in qualifying, but in practice, in their camps over and over. And Matt Turner certainly has stepped up to the challenge. That save against England that you hear on Fox Sports with John Strong, it came in first half stoppage time. And he not only dives, so Turner is diving to his right. His arms are outstretched, so it's like a Superman dive. His arms are outstretched. He knocks the ball wide. This is in the final seconds of the first half, but there were other moments where you could really see his leadership and his experience, though not on this stage. once the U.S. started pressing the attack, they were very aggressive, which meant that the guys on the backside had to be even better at their jobs. And also Walker Zimmerman had an incredible block on Harry Kane earlier in the game and actually was able to earn a little redemption himself for the penalty that he incurred in their opening game against Wales. So that's why they are defenders of the week. 20 million people tuned in to see USA against England on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I get it. People are on holiday. It's not quite the same. I implore you, watch it today. 8 hours from now, U.S. men's national team wins against Iran and is into the knockout stage. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love to travel, you love cool experiences, you are going to love Viator. Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. And for me, Sun Valley skiing is huge on my bucket list. So I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom! Custom ski and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to our condo. Pretty unbelievable. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.